And just the idea of Thanksgiving and giving thanks is just so, so important to life, right? It's so, so crucial to healthy living and thinking the right way about the world and about our lives. And really, like, gratitude is kind of the key that unlocks, like, healthy and selfless ways to view the world, doesn't it? When we're thankful, doesn't it change the way we view things? In fact, the Bible's full of commands. I don't know if you know this. There's ways that God commands us to live, asks us to live, and many commands are repeated over and over again. The number one command in all of the scriptures is, and you know what it is, the most common, not the greatest commandment, but the most common commandment in the scriptures? Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Like, fear not. It's all over the place. Like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Right behind that, though, some of the other ones that are very frequently commanded are to remember and also to give thanks. Some sort of admonition and reminder, hey, give thanks. Because Thanksgiving is one of those things that changes the way we live our lives. Like, Thanksgiving is both a discipline, like actually saying thank you, God, or thank you to someone who does something for you. To say thank you is a discipline, but it's also like a reaction. It's a feeling, isn't it? And I'm really convinced that the more we practice the discipline of gratitude, the more we experience the feeling of gratitude and the reaction of gratitude, and the more we recognize it. Now, what I want to do right now is look at some passages of Scripture that give us some of these commands, and how I want to do this is give you the chance to read these out loud, because there's something powerful and sweet about being able to read Scripture publicly. And in fact, when the early church would first gather, this is what they would do. They would read Scriptures. And in the beginning of the book of Revelation, maybe you know that there's this part that says, blessed is the one who reads this book. What that's really talking about is blessed is the one who gets to stand up and read this out loud, because you're blessed to get to read Scripture in the congregation, in the assembly. So you get to do that. And we do this sometimes in youth group on Wednesday nights. We'll put passages up there, and I'll have someone just stand up and bust it out, read it. And so that's what I want to do. I'm going to bust it out. So I'm not going to call on hands or anything like that, but there's about 6 or 7 verses that have this command or talk about giving thanks, and I would like us to read them. So somebody just stand up and read the first one, and then somebody else stand up and read the next one, and we'll keep going. Somebody do it. Let's get us started.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:8.
Way to get us going, Benjamin.
And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:17.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 145.
One more, who wants it?
Now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. 1 Chronicles 9:23.
Sweet. Thank you for reading those. Like I said, there's a reason the Bible commands us to give thanks often. It changes the way we view the world. It changes the view of ourselves. It puts our attention where it's supposed to be. It holds up what is actually really good in life. And I'm not talking about like the kind of thank you that's like, you force your kid to say thank you to grandma for the new sweater that he's never going to wear, right? Like, or the type of thank you that's like I often say to my family, like, hey, thanks for putting an empty carton of milk back in the fridge. You know, that's very sarcastic, which is like, sarcasm is like my go-to, but it's dangerous. You know the word sarcasm, what the etymology of that word is actually flesh-tearing. Sarcasm, it means... And so that's, every time I use sarcasm, I'm tearing flesh. But I can't stop. It's just so fun. But But like, I'm talking about like real gratitude, like recognizing something is good, acknowledging it, and saying thank you. And when I do premarital counseling, I often counsel couples, learn to say thank you a lot because it disarms things. And one thing that happens in marriages often is you start to feel resentful or unappreciated. And if you can learn to say thank you, I think it's really, really healthy. Several years ago, just after we first moved to the Woodinville area, Tim Porter took me up in his Super Cub airplane, which is like a little two-seater airplane where you sit right behind each other. We flew out of Snohomish, and it was one of the thrilling things of my whole life. But we flew up and flew around the area. We flew over the church. We flew over our condo in Woodinville, and it was so cool to see this kind of aerial view of where we lived. And I had just still been getting to know the East Side, but after that moment, I'd be like, oh, this is that street, or this is where I've seen that tree, and it changed the way that I viewed things. And I think gratitude gives us a long view of our situation and lets us see things as they are, because you know what our default mode is? It's not gratitude because of sin. You know what our default mode is? It's grumbling and complaining, isn't it? And it's thinking about what we deserve and what is due us and the ways that we're slighted and offended. And I every month I meet with a group of youth pastors that are some of my dearest friends in the world. They're encouraging to me. I love these guys. We share deeply with each other. And whenever we get together, it's a really safe place to talk about whatever. And these are godly men that I have great respect for. But it was interesting this last week. One of our guys started talking about a challenging situation in his life, and all of a sudden it turned into this cascading meeting of people complaining about difficulties in life. And not that we should never share what's challenging in life. I think we need to do that. The Psalms, in fact, are full of people complaining to God. But it was interesting how quickly, like in that situation, all of us could look at all the ways that we were owed something more or were shortchanged by something or frustrated by something. And I think gratitude and days like Thanksgiving break that in us. They change that in us. They turn us away from that. They remind us of what is best. And it helps us to practice the discipline of Thanksgiving so that we can be thankful people, not arguing and grumbling and complaining and worrying about ourselves, but instead looking to who God is and giving incredible thanks. Three things I want to say this morning about gratitude and what they're closely related to as we see in the scriptures and where we live our lives. And the first one is this, that gratitude is a companion of obedience. It's a companion to obedience. You see, the scriptures tell us and God commands us to live different lives because of Jesus, because he invites us. We are to repent of sin, turn from it, and be different people. We're supposed to live a new life, be new creations. And there's a lot of different ways that we are motivated by this. Sometimes we're afraid, and fear motivates us to change our lives, that God is going to crush us if we don't turn and obey. Sometimes we want to obey because we want to manipulate God. We want to get something from him and convince him that we're good people and that we're deserving of his blessing. But really, like, I think the ultimate motivation for an obedient life is gratitude, recognizing what God has done and then turning from it. In Titus 2:11 through 13, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for that blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So here, what is Paul telling Titus? What is it that appears and teaches us to say no to ungodliness? Grace. It's God's grace. Elsewhere, we're told that it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And when we can recognize God's goodness, we can turn with gratitude and obedience and love because of what God has done. That's why I say we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day, right? Because that helps us live different repentant lives. So first, gratitude is a companion to obedience. Now, gratitude is also a companion to generosity. If you show me a grateful person, you'll likely be showing me a generous person. Because when we receive from God and we say thank you, we're ready to not say, oh, this is mine, I deserve it. But wow, what a blessing. Let me be a blessing to other people. And generosity, I think, is the most immediate an outward expression of gratitude and companion. Say no to ourselves to give to someone else. And that's why we do No Spend November. It's not because of what God wants from us, but what God wants for us. That through gratitude and through generosity and through giving, we experience something greater. Jesus tells this great story. Actually, it's not a story he tells. It's something he witnessed and responded to. But in the Gospel of Mark, we're told this. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. And Jesus holds up this woman who gives generously. He doesn't say anything about a crumbling and corrupt temple system. He just says, hey, this is a good thing, that she is generous. Philip Yancey tells a story about a church. I think it was in Philadelphia. No, it was in Washington, D.C. I want to read it to you briefly here. In response to this story. It says, Gordon Crosby of the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C., tells a story of a widow whose income was barely adequate to feed and clothe her six children. Every week she had been faithfully placing $4 into the offering plate. A deacon suggested that Crosby go to the widow and assure her that she could put the money to other use for her family's benefit. Crosby followed the deacon's advice to his everlasting regret. The widow responded with great sadness. You are trying to take away the last thing that gives me dignity and meaning, she said. She had learned the key to giving, which was clinging to it at all costs. And see, this is the key. The main benefit of giving is its effect on the giver. Yes, people need our financial help, but in truth, our need to give is every bit as desperate as others need to receive. That the way we don't let money have a hold on our lives is by holding it with an open hand and being generous and saying and gratefully giving back and responding. Again, it's not about what God wants from you. It's what God wants for you. And generosity is like gratitude. It changes how we think and how we look at the world. And so God invites us to hold things with an open hand with thanksgiving and be ready to give that to others. And finally, the last one is gratitude is a companion to contentment. And under this umbrella of contentment, I think you can put joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit that we experience in life. And again, I think if you show me a grateful person, you will show me a joy-filled and peace-filled person that's full of that kind of peace. People that can have a long view of the world and see things accurately. Maybe you've experienced this before, and I know in our church we're talking about people that have lived this story that have received terrible news, like terminal illness information about a loved one. Someone is dying, or something terrible happens, and when you talk to them and ask them how they're doing, they respond with talking about how grateful they are for the nurses and how grateful they are for people that are encouraging them and supporting them. And even though they're going through the worst thing you can imaginable, they are people that carry peace and joy, and they're different. And their perspective is shifted because they are grateful. This is this passage in Philippians chapter 4, which is the book of joy. Keep it up there, actually. Listen to what Paul says. And this is, keep in mind, when Paul writes this letter of Philippians, he's not like writing from like, you know, a bed and breakfast in the countryside. Like, he's writing from prison. Like, things are not good for Paul. Yet listen to what he says. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And just a little later, we'll look at the middle verses in a minute, but look at what else he says. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That last verse when it says, I can do all this who gives me strength, this isn't like what you quote to yourself when you're trying to lift weights, which is what we normally do. Like, this is talking about being able to live a contented life because of God's goodness and living in gratitude. And see, when we see God's grace and we trust his purposes, like thankfulness rises out of us and it pushes out all those negative feelings, all the sinful emotions, the grumbling, the selfishness, the poor me-isms, and instead it replaces those things with peace as we give thanks to God. And this gratitude-inspired peace and contentment that we have, it wells up out of us and it like splashes on to everyone else that we meet, often helping them in their own temptations to grumble. And so if we can lead with gratitude, it changes the way we see the world. It changes our views of things. Hebrews 12:28 says this, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." Because of Jesus, do you realize that we are members of God's kingdom? It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's rad. That's incredible. So let's be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. We talk on Wednesday nights with the youth group about how worship is, how we define worship is paying attention to God and responding appropriately. And when we pay attention to God, when we behold God, we are brought to respond appropriately with thanksgiving, with obedience, with saying, "Wow, God, you are amazing. You're awesome." So finally, you engineers might like this. Maybe this is a stretch, but put this Venn diagram together of our three things we talked about. Generosity, obedience, contentment. And there's a lot of overlap between these, isn't there? But it seems to me that when we think about who God is and how we respond to them by being generous, content, and obedient, when we live in the middle there, that's really what Christian gratitude or Christian thanksgiving is. When we experience those things, and it's kind of cyclical. The more we do these things, the more they grow and the more they well up in our hearts, and the more we practice the discipline of thanksgiving, the more we experience, I think, what God intends for us and what God desires for us. And so that's why thanksgiving is such a big deal. And that's why we give thanks. That middle verses I was talking about, Paul talks about he discovered the secret to being content. And this is what we're going to do right now, this morning, is this is what he says. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you." And this is what we do on Thanksgiving Sunday. What is it that is true? What is it that is noble? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? What is excellent? What is praiseworthy? We hold these things up and say, "Yay, God, thank you. Yay, God, you rock. You're amazing. You're incredible." And so now is our opportunity to talk about how is it that God has shown his incredible love for us. And the great news for us as Christians is even if nothing in our life is going well, even if there is nothing that we are celebrating that is happening in our immediate worlds, even if it is difficult, Jesus still conquered death. And he still went to the cross for us. And because of that, we always have reason to give thanks. And so this morning, we are going to listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us here. What are those things? What are you celebrating this morning? How are you celebrating the gospel? How are you giving thanks for that? How are we beholding God and then responding appropriately? Because the proper response when you think about God's goodness is worship and gratitude. So Mike is going to come up. He's going to be our MC for this. And so maybe you've thought about this. Maybe some of you are ready. And this is just an opportunity to share in your life what you're thankful for, why you say, "Yay, God." And so we'll share those things. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then you can think about that. I think we have two mics too, right? Paul, way to be Paul. Thank you, Paul. Yes, Paul. I just want to be grateful for you. So. You are excellent and praiseworthy, Paul. So, all right, let me pray. God, it's so good to be together, and we think about how beautiful and awesome and glorious you are, and we respond with worship and praise and gratitude, Lord. And so this morning, as we get to celebrate some of these things and share and delight in you, I pray that you would be honored and glorified by what we say, by what we think, by what we feel, and that you would teach us how to be grateful people. There's no one on the planet that should be more grateful than Christians, Lord. So teach us that. May that be a characteristic that people notice in us, that we are grateful people that are obedient and generous and content and overflowing with peace and joy that comes from you. So thank you for letting us celebrate. Thank you that we can approach you because of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.